What up, fam? Welcome to another episode of Knights at the Roundtable. Today, we're going to be talking about what role the church should be playing in our lives right now. Obviously, after this pandemic, things are going to look a lot different. So we choose to look at this kind of in a metaphor where the church is our girl. We're married to her. Are some of us separated? Are some of us divorced? And what's it going to take for us to get back together? What should it really look like, this relationship between us and the church? We hope you guys enjoy it. We love you so much. Here's Knights at the Roundtable. And welcome to another episode of Knights at the Roundtable. It's your boy Manuel. I got my queen to the left. I got my homie B to the right.
Hello.
And we are here straight chilling. Excited about diving into this next episode, which shout out to the Patreon fam. I just want to give that a quick shout out because the last two episodes were kind of sparked by our top tier Patreon people. If you don't know what Patreon is, it is just basically a monthly helping us financially. There's different tiers that you can do, and it's just to keep the podcast going, and we're so appreciative of them. If you like this podcast, if you think it's something that's like feeding you well and giving you great things to think on, then maybe you'll think about joining. It's literally as little as $2 all the way up to 25, but it's totally up to you. We would love you. It'll help us keep going. That's all I'll say about that. But they did give us the idea for this next one, which was coincidentally something that they were really intrigued on because of this whole COVID mess. The idea or the concept was, what is the role of the church in our lives right now? Like, what should it be? Because it's obviously very different right now because most of us are not going to a church. We're either streaming it or we're finding new ways to have church. So her question was really, you know, what should the role be in this time? And I started thinking about it like, this feels like a metaphor. Like the church, we was in a relationship. And some of us are still with the church, happily married. Some of us are having a tense moment. Some of us have broken up. Some of us are divorced. I find myself in a broken up state.
Some of y'all living like roommates, just yeah, showing up. Just no, roommates. No passion.
Occasionally fornicating.
No connection.
Occasionally
just
sleeping together.
We can't get divorced, so.
And yeah, it's one of those things. And when I say break up, not break up from the church, as far as, you know, she has taught me some things that I don't quite, you know, agree with, but I'm still cool with her cousins and all of her, you know, her pops is still cool. Pops meaning pastors, cousins meaning believers in the body. I'm cool with a lot of people and I still love the church because I'm a part of it. But I am against the symbolism of what I thought church was, which was, we have these buildings that we go to on a Sabbath and we praise and we worship. And that is the definition of what it means to be a believer, is to come to this place, come to these four walls and offer your worship to God, offer your money. Sometimes talk to the people around you, mostly just
to be nice,
listen to the word and sing some songs. And
if you're single, look for a mate.
Yeah, yeah. And the reason I say I'm broken up with at this point is because there's going to be some things that I'm going to need the church to do in order for us to get back together. And for me, the biggest thing is I feel like we worship symbols more than we worship God. Meaning our American culture and way of doing Christianity is very symbolic. And you can look at what's going on right now. Example. You know, if someone is kneeling, it is no longer just kneeling. I say the word kneeling and a flood of thoughts come to your head.
Mm-hmm.
From political to racial, it's all over. Three letters. BLM.
Mm-hmm.
Symbolism. Mm-hmm. Way more than even desiring to go behind of the heart of something. It's a symbol. The flag. The flag is by far one of the biggest idols of the American church. It is 1,000% an idol. If you do anything to this flag, we will disown you. We will consider you more so than anything else. More so than anything else
mm-hmm.
in this country. And look, I love patriotism. My dad was in the Army 22 years, but there's a symbol for everything that we truly, truly praise and honor, I think more so than just God's heart. And in order for me to get back with the church, I want to see her leave symbolism and just fall in love with people again. Just people. Doesn't have to be in four walls. It doesn't have to be a structured service. It doesn't have to be anything. It has to be love and reaching out to people that may not look like us, may not talk like us, may not agree politically than we do, may not agree sexually like we do. Mm-hmm. But we're just loving people again. Like for real, for real. I don't know.
Dude.
Go ahead.
I think of the parable of the Good Samaritan.
Exactly.
Right? When you think about the context of what he was saying, it was like the Samaritan was already the most hated person in the story based off that context and time. So here the priest walks by. He doesn't help. Mm-hmm. Here another person comes by. He doesn't help. But now the guy that you hate the most, he helps. And then Jesus, once he's done with the story, asks them, so who was his neighbor? Mm-hmm. And the answer they came up with was the one who helped. Mm-hmm. Essentially. Mm-hmm. So I think about that, and I just think of, like, again, at being a part of the church, I wouldn't say we're broken up. We're married. I'm married to the church, and I feel like that's part of my life calling. Like, I'm called to, like, speak into the church and help reform it in some ways. But that's also my issue, too, is, like, even what our Sunday service, even what that symbol means has almost become an idol. Yeah. Like, we see that right now. Like, again, there are people who are like, despite everything that's happening with this pandemic, and now there's like surges in some of these states again, which sucks. It's like, dude, we've wasted 2020. Like, But you think about that, and it's like they're fighting so much for the symbol. When I don't really think Jesus died on the cross so that you can have your Sunday gathering.
Go to church, yeah.
Like, he was like, it wasn't so you can go to church. It was like you so you could be the church, right? Like, that's really it.
I don't get it.
And, like, to me, even that is a symbol. And in some ways, that could almost become an idol. Can you imagine that? That, like, the Sunday gathering experience for some Christians has now become the thing that now stands in front of Jesus. Like, Jesus is behind this, and he's like, hey, go love your neighbor. Hey, I actually need you to do the work of justice. Mm-hmm. And we're like, no. We're going to have Sunday service, Sunday morning service. We got to have it. Mm-hmm. And if we don't, oh, God.
This is what they meant by impression.
We're going to sing the songs that we like. Don't do no news songs. We're going to sing the good songs that we like. We're going to do announcements. And this is the way we do Sunday service.
Well, here's the thing.
I think
the reason why people are so protective of that is because they find their definition in that.
Yeah,
they do absolutely. Not have to define what it means to be moral, what it means to be a believer, what it means to be anything. The church and the walls of the church define it for them. They literally pour themselves into this glass that has four walls, and they are shaped and formed by the ideologies mm-hmm. of this building. Mm-hmm. And for each building, it's different.
Yeah.
For you to be outside of the church and actually doing Christianity on your own, get this visual. That means you are spilled water. And whatever you touch should be giving people Jesus. It should be life water.
Yeah.
But when you confine yourself to fighting for the symbolism of just, I need to be in this walls, these things, mm-hmm. these ideologies are so important. And if it's not this, then it's not church. Then you are literally, we always say putting yourself in the box, but you are pouring yourself into whatever structure it is and allowing that structure to identify and define who you are as a believer. Most people don't want to do the work to find out what type of believer they are. Because if they do have to do that work, they're going to have to come to the very real realization is that they don't know nothing about the heart of God. Mm. They know about the heart of Pastor so-and-so mm-hmm. because he tells it to them every Sunday. We know the heart of the church because it's in the bulletin.
We have our values and our about us.
It's very, very, it's that thing. So to force yourself to think by yourself is scary. And I'm not speaking to those people who may find themselves in that place. I'm not speaking down to you in this moment. I'm not at all. Because I was for sure at one point the same person who was defined by the church that he went to. And I am also not saying that I am better than you now that I feel that I don't need to be defined by that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just on another road, realizing that if I cannot define myself outside of the glass, if I cannot pour myself out onto this world and that my water touches people and becomes literally life water, then I shouldn't be in the church anyways. Because all I'm doing is taking up space.
I'll give you another illustration. Matthew 5, Jesus talks about, you are the light of the world. You are a light that is essentially a city that is on a hill. Mm-hmm. Now, someone doesn't take their light and hide it under a basket.
Right.
So if you think about it, it's like when we go to a Sunday experience or a Wednesday night or a Friday night or a Thursday night or you know, whatever night that you have your guys' thing, okay? It is like this giant light party.
Yeah.
Right? When you put a bunch of lights together, it's bright. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
But understand, outside of the scope of that light is darkness. So a lot of people, the only time that their faith is actually shining is when they are with everybody else on Sunday. Mm. Which Jesus would actually condemn that and said, okay, so when you actually go out into the darkness and you're no longer trying to live this thing out that you had this experience on Sunday, you're now covering your light. And what good is that light if it's covered, right? Your light was always meant to shine in the darkness. So I always think of like, that's great. You come to your light party, you get empowered, let your thing shine a little bit brighter. Mm-hmm. But understand that this wasn't meant just for this. This was meant to actually go and light up some dark places.
Exactly.
So if that part is not, if you're not doing that part, then what's the point of this?
Exactly. And this is not a condemnation to go to church. This is not the question that the young lady from our Patreon asked is, what is the role of the church now? And the reason we're speaking of this now is because the church does not look like it did before. And who knows if it's going to go back to that. I think there's a lot of people realizing that they can do church at home or they can do church in a community. And this is what I mean by, I feel like, even me saying that I broke up with the church, I know for a fact, no matter how much I'm saying that I still love the people in the church, I still love the pastors of the church, they're going to think I'm saying I broke up with Jesus. Because to them, church and Jesus are synonymous. To Jesus, it's not so much. Mm. He loves the church, but he even understood, man, this had nothing to do with buildings. So much so that when he was crucified, when he died, the veil in the temple split open, signifying this is no longer a thing that is in a building or walls. You no longer have to come to this temple. It's not real. These walls are no longer real. So he didn't die so that did you see anybody going back and sewing up the veil? Like, oh shit. The veil broke. Hey, sewed his shit up.
We need to contain this.
We need to get God back in the building. It was never that. Jesus literally poured himself out onto the world. So I am not condemning church, nor am I saying church sucks. We got saved in a church. I'm not saying that at all. All I'm saying is I feel like we're fighting for the church more than we're fighting for the heart of God, which is people outside of the church. Mm-hmm. So listen to this, and you will never be able to get away from this. I don't care how much shit you talk to yourself. I don't care how much you just try to convince yourself otherwise. The people that you hate, the people that you disagree with, the right, the left, the opposite side, it doesn't matter. Those are the people you are supposed to be loving. I don't care what you say. It doesn't matter if you think that they disagree with you on every level. They are still, if you believe what you say you do, a child of God and worthy of your love and respect.
Yeah.
Period. Mm-hmm. If Jesus can look at people who are literally killing him, mocking him, literally, none of y'all are getting mocked. Y'all think of some shit that you're online and people are trolling you for being right or left. You think that's some kind of like, I don't know, persecution? But you ain't on a cross dying the worst kind of death and people mocking and spitting at you and stabbing you. And he still says, nah, I'm not going to get mad at them. They don't know what they're doing. I'm going to die for them. I'm sorry. You ain't no believer if all you do is point out the wrong in others and be mad at people. Those are the exact people that you're supposed to be loving. And if you ain't got no love for them, I don't know what you're doing, man. I don't know how you can you can try to justify it all day long. Now, I'm not saying y'all got to kick it. I'm not saying, because there's certain people that you obviously can't kick. I can't kick it with a KKK member. I can't kick it with him. Like, we can't chill because we don't have, he's probably going to want to go, you know, mess up some color people, meaning me, and or people of color, and I can't hang with them because we're just on that opposite side. But I don't have to hate him. I really don't have to hate him. I can have love for him, and hopefully he never crosses over to the line of, like, killing me. But even if he did, well, what is, if I want to be so much like Jesus, what is my response? It's not symbolism. My response should be, Father, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. See, sometimes I don't want to be like Jesus. Yeah. I'd be like,
and that's real. That's real. But to claim, what is the role of the church now? The church now more than ever is being forced to decide what side is it on. Hmm. And I laugh because I know what the people of the church are thinking as their numbers shrink. This is persecution. This is what the Bible mean by the road is narrow.
And this is the liberal agenda. They're trying to shut down our churches.
The road is narrow and few will find it for the righteous. But the road for the unrighteous is wide and many will find it. So this is just what it means that we're just, you know, there's less and less in us because, you know, righteousness will never be predominant in a world that's full of hate and lust and jealousy and greed. We're never going to be the most. We're just holding on to this little bit of what we have. And I don't know if that's the, I don't know if that's the move. I feel like you're going to find yourself churchless, lights off, because you didn't care about the Samaritan. It just became about symbols. What's your symbol?
Yeah.
Are you the elephant or are you the, which one are you? Are you the blue? Are you the red? Because you can't tell me that there's not one Christian online that you can literally poke the bear and they will show you that nationalism is more than Christianity.
Mm-hmm. Dude,
100%, and they'll give you every, oh, because we're not supposed to, these are wicked people. We're not supposed to be aligned with these people. We don't, you know, they believe in this. They believe in abortion. They believe in this. So that gives you, show me in the Bible where that gives you the right to no longer love them. Because if that is the case, then anytime you have broken the code of sin, then God, you're asking God to stop loving you. That's just the fact of it.
You're very good at showing love to people, like the example that you gave. Somebody who doesn't know you would be like, oh, you probably do the same thing, but you don't. Like, I hear you and I see you when I speak out and I say, spouting out the mouth at people who believe differently than me, and you check me about loving people, and even when they're different and feel different than you, and like exactly what you just said. But it's hard. It is really hard sometimes to be like Jesus, and sometimes I don't want to.
Well, I get it. I think what makes it hard is that we all have this thing called ego.
Yeah.
We have an ego and we have this desire to want to be right. We feel like we're on the side of being right. Everybody feels that way though. That's the stupidity of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're always going to feel like you're right. Whether you're right, you're left. Like, there's no point. The only thing that can't be argued is genuine love.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that can't be argued, because your genuine love doesn't see blue or red. It doesn't see white or black. When somebody genuine, which is why being said in another podcast, like if you love somebody correctly, successfully, I'm telling you that love will transform anybody's thinking. It just does, because it's rare to meet someone, and this is why I fight so hard for it, because I understand I'm not going to make these people think the way I think. I can't. But if I can act like Jesus really would, then I would at least stop them in their tracks to stop and think, damn, this guy is not giving me what I thought he's going to give me. He's not repaying me with what I'm giving him. I'm giving him a lot of anger. I'm giving him a lot of I'm right. He's giving me a lot of questions of like, kindness. And that's literally all I do online. I just ask people questions, or I'd be like, well, what about this, or what about this, or what about this? You know, you should probably think about this. Mm-hmm. But afterwards, I'm not mad. I don't ever leave a conversation mad. Never. I don't care how hard they come for me. I'm not, because I'm like, these people don't know me. And at the end of the day, no matter what they say to me, still God's kid.
Yeah. I'm still
loved. I can't get away from that.
Right.
Still loved. There was something you said, and I'm trying to remember what I wanted to say with that. You were just talking along the lines of, this is what I wanted to say. Okay. So I think that Jesus is the most beautiful thing that has ever existed, ever. Okay. And beauty is one of those things, man. Like, I remember the first time that I saw Maddie in person. Like, it was such a surreal moment. Like, it literally felt like my heart was captured. Like, the first time, it was like, it was almost so beautiful that it was tough for me to, like, look at her in her eyes. Because I knew, like, I'm going to be so undone as soon as this happens. Because, like, her essence, her spirit, her everything, like, it was just so captivating. When you find something beautiful, like, you're stuck. You're trapped in the best way possible.
Yeah.
And I think, like, it doesn't matter how hurt you are. It doesn't matter how defensive you are. It doesn't matter what your excuses are. It doesn't matter where you are. Beauty is one of those things, man, that it is so sneaky. It has this ability to go around all these walls that you put up and hit you in that soft spot.
Yeah.
And I think, like, more than our apologetics, more than our morals, more than any other thing, I think the expression of Christianity that's been missing in America is the beauty, right? Like Brian Zahn, who we talk about a lot on here, and man, he's my guy. he has this book. It's called Beauty Will Save the World. Mm. I believe in that, man. I believe that, like, if I can live like Jesus, there is going to be something so beautiful that is on my life. Hmm. That it doesn't matter how hurt people are. It doesn't matter what walls they have up. It doesn't matter what defenses they have in line. This beauty that is from this person that now lives in me and I am in him, it's going to sneak around those things and it's going to hit you right in that soft spot. Yeah. And you're going to get captivated. Like, that's it. I believe in that firmly, you know? So I just think, man, like, yes to what you're saying. And, like, dude, let's, like, live this thing out, man. It's beautiful.
If we don't, I think it's going to be a bad day for the church. And look, we say this because we are pro church, like the real meaning of the church.
I'm employed by a church.
Yeah, yeah. we're pro church, like the meaning of the church, meaning the people of God who know that it is nothing about a building, that is all about affecting a world that we live in. And if we don't grasp, and this is the I don't understand how we get caught up in this massive lie that the things that we care about matter. Like, you really, really think that God is up there splitting heaven into Republicans and Democrats? Like, do you really think, like, sit back, man, if you're hearing this, please, sweet Jesus, do you really think that God gives two shits if you're a Democrat or a Republican? Do you really think he favors one side? Think about that. You will be minimalizing God to a political party.
An American political party.
our baby country.
That literally flips sides whenever is convenient. Literally, like, I don't know how. Look, I'm not mad at Mama Kamala, and I know we're all, you know, fans of her as a person, but let's not forget 8 months ago she was dissing Biden, like fully dissing Biden. Biden makes her the running candidate, and now she's praising Biden. That is not a diss on Kamala. That is what politics are. It is right in your face, placating you. I am going to say what you need me to say so that I can get to where I need to get to.
It wasn't Trump a Democrat, and then he said he was going to go Republican because Republicans were
I wouldn't
idiots.
Even consider Trump a Democrat. Trump is whatever he needs to be that serves Trump. He's not like a real political person. He's a self-absorbed person. So if it was the Democrats that would have gave him the nom, he would have been Democrat. If it's the, it doesn't matter. Mm. But that's the thing. These people do what they need to do so that they can get to where they need to get to. But it's not because they're really, really like wanting to get in the trenches with you in your life. But this is what you are splitting the nation over. So when you ask me what is the role of the church right now is if you don't see through the bullshit, then you're useless. The church is useless. If you can't see that love is the only community, is the only language that mm-hmm. we should be speaking right mm-hmm. now, mm-hmm. then I don't know. I just don't know. I just don't know if I have hope for the church in that regard. And again, I mean like the traditional church that we've established. Because it is for sure split.
Yeah.
For sure. We can see it in our own friend circle.
I mean, yeah, we're in a lot of ways too. Like, I would categorize this COVID season of church is that church has left the building. And I would probably respond to that finally. Yeah. Like, who would have thought that it would take a pandemic to get us out of our walls? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, I think too, man, when I think about it in the kind of the metaphor that we're running with, in a lot of ways, I'm married, or not in a lot of ways, I'm married to the church. Okay. Yeah. And I feel like every time that I am over my wife's family's house for the last, man, shoot, as long as I can remember, we've been having the same conversation over and over.
And by wife, he means church. And house, he means the global church.
No, I mean American church.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. And we've been having the same conversation over again. Like, I know Pops, all of his talking points.
Right.
I could tell you, yada, yada, yada. I could tell you what illustrations Pops is going to say. Yeah. I still laugh at his jokes just because I want to be a good family member, you know? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, COVID happened. And Pops has now changed the conversation. Mm-hmm. He realized that there were people in his actual neighborhood who were really hurting. And for the first time in a long time, he could hear them crying out for help.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Pops has now taken the gaze off his old stories and talking points to now all of a sudden thinking, oh my God, I have neighbors who live on my street who I know absolutely nothing about. And they don't look like me. They don't talk like me. They don't believe like I do. They have a different sexual orientation than I do. And man, there is something in me that wants to be a part of their lives and to be with them. Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of churches now, you're starting to hear churches talk about race. You're starting to hear churches address racism, which it's kind of like, it's great that it's happening now, but it's also so sad that you think about it's happening now. Yeah. Of all the things that have happened, right? But I'm excited now because, oh, Pops, we're chopping it up right now. Mm-hmm. We're talking about other people besides your old stories and what you're most passionate about. We're actually hearing cries in the neighborhood. And that gives me hope. Hmm. And then there also gives me hope is that my wife, she has some little cousins. They're young. They're like middle school, high school, but they get it already.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, there's a lot of adults who I feel like are just stuck in their ways, whether they're stuck in symbols or stuck in tradition. And so, yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
But man, there is like a younger generation, even in 20 somethings, right? 30 somethings, right? Who are actually like really getting this. Like they got it. And that gives me so much hope for the church.
Yeah.
Because like, I reiterate this a lot because I want you to hear my heart is like, I really believe in the church. And I think we're finally headed in the right direction in a long time. What's sad is that it took a pandemic and it took riots and it took protests and it took an incompetent president to get us to this point. But we're here at this point and that's good.
Yeah. And I just think the youth aren't fooled by it anymore.
Yeah.
That's great that you see that, Brandon, and you see that hope and share that because it's good to hear. I don't see it as much, but I'm also not immersed in it. Because I have cut my ties and if we're sticking with the relationship analogy, broken up myself with the church. And I feel like, if I were to, in using this analogy, I was in a relationship with this guy who wanted to control me and for a while did. And had me fooled. And when I started to say, hey, can my friend come over and hang out with us? Nah, they're not allowed. Okay, how about this friend? Nope, they can't come because of this. How about this friend? Nope, they can't come because of this. Wait, yeah, actually all your friends are not a part of this. And then it was like, wait, I don't want to be a part of this. Hold on. Wait, what are you really saying here? And then when 2016 election came about and Donald Trump was elected president, and I saw how different I was from so many people that I had linked arms with previously, is when I was for sure like, oh, did we just break up? I think we just broke up. And since then, it's been this journey, this deconstruction journey, but also at the same time, it's one of those like when you break up with someone, but then you remember like a good memory and you'd be like, have that one moment like, oh, I remember when he used to say that to me. Should I call him right now? Should I send him a text? And it's like, nah, girl, don't be sending no text. Just go figure out your own stuff right now. So I feel like where I am personally, there's things about the old ways of doing things that are attractive because they're familiar. And not necessarily that's what I want for my life and how to believe, but it's comfortable because it's in routine, because it feels like security. It feels like you can check it off your list. It mm-hmm. feels like you can get it right. There's right or wrong. And if you do it this way, there's a manual. And this is right, this is wrong. Cool, I can get it right if I just follow A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So there's something to that that feels safe and it feels comforting, mm-hmm. but that's not what I want for my life.
Yeah.
So like how you were saying, in order to get back with the church, it would have to like drop the symbolism. For me, I mean, I honestly don't know. Like, it's almost like I'm broken up with somebody and I'm like, hey, I need to figure out who I am, because who I am at my core and at my heart, like I love God and I love Jesus. But when I look at you, we do it differently. So why do I need to align with you? So it's very, I feel like in a limbo place with church and what the church's role is in my own personal life. And there's certain, like this past Sunday, I was listening to Pastor Troy's message and I was like, yes, this is so good. And I'm taking notes and I'm thinking of things like while he's speaking. And then I think of somebody and I'm sending this person a message and like encouraging them based on this word that pastor from the church is giving me. And I'm like, yeah, so there's still definitely things that I connect with about the church that still lead me to Jesus and lead me to God. But there are a lot of things that more so are like a block for me to get to actual God outside of the box.
Well, look at it this way. This is the best way to break down what you're feeling.
Yeah, help me articulate.
You're married to me, right? And there's, I don't know if, and when we say—
I'm very lucky.
Yeah, and I am too. When I say, but when we say broken up with the church, I don't know if it doesn't, we're not divorced yet. We're just sleeping in different rooms.
Yeah, we sleep in different rooms. I got my own apartment. But you sleeping in different rooms. I got my own apartment.
I got a little high rise.
I signed a lease.
I got a little high rise.
Here's the thing. Here's the way to help you understand what you're going through. What you're seeing is what within a relationship, when you're married, you find out. It's not until you get married that you realize, oh, my husband or wife has immaturity. He has parts of him that are immature. He's not so good with finances, but he's really good at taking care of the kids. She's not so good at cleaning the house, but she's really smart. And she's teaching our kids to be amazing. He's not so affectionate, but he's never complained one day of his work. And he's providing for me and my kids and making sure that he goes above and beyond so that we have everything that we need. Mm-hmm. So you can acknowledge the immaturity of the church without having to break up or get divorced. Because in the same way, there's immaturities in you that you would like your husband to have grace for. So that's why I say, when I look at the church, I don't ever get mad by her. I'm not like, oh, the audacity. Because I'm like, at one point, I was in every stage of that.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I didn't talk to my sister forever because I thought I was more holy. I used to witness to people. I didn't give a crap what they said or what they were thinking. I only cared about me telling them about this Jesus that loved them, even though I didn't give a crap what happened to them. I was overzealous. I used to diss on rappers that didn't rap about Christianity like they were supposed to rap about Christianity when they're not even Christians. Like, I was on some dumb shit. Like, that's what I was. So as I look at other people that are on their dumb shit, I'm like, oh, okay, we all do it. We all do it. Just because we have matured in certain areas of our life, it's not good to then look back at those who are still immature in certain areas and be like, y'all are whack. I don't want nothing to do with you. It's more so a call to, like, when we tell each other, I believe in you. Like, there's ways you can, you don't have to stay in this place. And we don't have to keep having the same conversations.
Are you evangelizing me right now?
No, I'm evangelizing our whole podcast.
I have an altar call in a minute.
I'm saying, when we look at our relationships, we want our significant others to not hold our immaturities against us, which in the same way, that's how we treat the church. We see some immaturities, and they see some in us. But that's the beauty of this thing called the church. We're supposed to be able to grow with each other.
What about the fact that he still says, my friends can't come over?
Well, again, that's immaturity, because I did the same thing when we were first married, literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's part of the, if we're using this illustration, that's part of the dad not realizing how big his house actually is.
Mm.
Exactly.
And it's him using one room and thinking, oh, isn't this the best room ever, guys? Look at this room. And you're like, bruh, you have a whole compound. You know how many people we can fit here?
Yeah.
And in some ways, Andrew, when you were talking, I got this illustration. I was thinking of, like, you know, like, you guys probably have this moment. You guys had this moment. I know we had this moment where the place that you're living at, your house, where it actually becomes a home.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, some things change, but there's also a feeling that changes.
Yeah.
Like, it's like when you first move into a place, like, or sometimes some people move into a place that's fully furnished already. And that's extra weird. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I'm not saying you're weird. That's just a weird situation.
Mm-hmm.
So you got in and you're like, this isn't my style. I don't like this couch. It's not super comfortable. These aren't my plates. Like, all these sorts of things. And the beautiful process is when you can make that house your own.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in a lot of ways, I felt like, apart from what Manny was just saying, I feel like in a lot of ways, it's like you're in this reconstruction place where you're trying to make this house a home.
Mm-hmm.
And you have bits and pieces, like, over the years of things you've collected. You've been on trips. You brought souvenirs back. You hung up that picture. That was a good memory we have here. But the overall house isn't quite you yet.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this awesome synergy between us making church and church making us in some ways. And it's like, it's a tough line because in most ways, it's like church is this dominant force and it's just like shoving it down like you. And it's like, you're going to like this.
Mm-hmm.
This couch is amazing. Yeah, you know? Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, this couch
is so... It's the most amazing couch. Everyone says it's the best couch.
You're like, oh, this couch is prickly. You know, like, everyone's got the plastic cover, you know, because grandma don't want to get the satin dirty. But I think, man, I think there's a lot of that. Of like right now, I think, in some ways, the house that we've been a part of has either been A, destroyed, B, it's been looted, robbed. Three, it just has, there's a new family that's come in.
Yeah.
So some of the old has died out. And I think we're in this process of trying to reconstruct what that looks like moving forward.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people who I think who have left the church, but I don't think it's a sign of their lack of devotion to Jesus.
Yeah.
So if you're in that place right now, I like want to encourage you. It doesn't matter what anyone else has said. Like, you have a connection to Jesus himself.
Yeah.
And just because you aren't attending or live streaming
a
service right now, and even when post-COVID goes back for the states that are still locked up, even if you decide not to go back to a home church, is not a lack of devotion for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
I think it's interesting that Jesus, when he wanted to get close to God, he removed himself from the quote unquote church.
He was with the homies and he removed himself.
He removed himself to go by himself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's interesting. And who was the one that tried to get him to come back? The enemy. Offering him stuff. Mm. Offering him power.
Wow.
The only time the devil ever uses scripture. Yeah. Try to get this fool back to come to where? To be a part of the church again. To be a part of this thing. I'm going to give you all this thing so that you can have power. So you can have control. Which is essentially how the church has operated its whole life. It's power and control.
Mm. Mm. One of my favorite church services that I've had this year, 2020, was recently, maybe like a month ago. A good friend of ours came and spent the night with us. And in the morning we woke up and it was me, Penelope, and our friend Marisa. And we made breakfast and we sat around the table and we put on some like nice, just meditative music, and we journaled, mm-hmm. and all of us journaled, and then we talked about what we journaled, and we processed things within our life in that moment, and we ate our breakfast and communed together, and then we walked over to the living room and laid on the carpet, and we put on a meditation where all three of us, in our own mind, in our own imagination, in our own body, in our own spirits, encountered God for like a good 15-minute meditation that was guided for us. And after that meditation, we talked about what we experienced and what we saw and what God revealed and all of that kind of stuff. And we stretched and did like yoga. And it was like, to me, that was church. That was what we're supposed to do, like connect with each other and connect with God, connect about connecting with God and enjoy each other. And that was the best. And then she went home and I was like, man, this was church.
Yeah,
it is. I think this podcast is church. Yeah. I think for most of the people, there's a lot of people that tell us that when they listen to this podcast, this is their church.
Yeah.
Because they feel accepted. They feel
safe.
Yeah. I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful that we could be a part of somebody else's safety. Somebody's like, I feel accepted here. I feel heard. I feel seen, because I know how important that was for me when I started like asking questions and I felt very lonely because I was like, man, I'm not on the same page with the church right now. And it felt very lonely. So to find community, to find people that are also asking questions, to find people that are also uneasy with some of the ways of the symbolisms and all of the things, it's an honor for me personally to be a part of people's lives in that way. And the same way when I tour and I do stand up and I tell people, like, it's an honor that I get to be a part of people's healing process when people tell me that they would watch my videos when they were going through chemo, or they don't get along with their mom, but them and their mom, they bond over my comedy for some reason, and they're so thankful for that. And I'm grateful that I get to be a part of people's healing in their life, bringing joy and the gift of laughter. But I'm also grateful that we get to be a part of it here at this table, telling people like, hey, if you're lonely, if you want a relationship with God, but you don't feel like you can have it, or you don't feel like it's the way it used to be, or whatever it is, come sit here with us.
Yeah.
Come sit with us.
I just have this visual right now of like thinking about what you just said, Ange, and adding to that, and even just this visual of what role is a church to play. I just think of like, it's like this family meal with one really good home cooked food. Mm. So whatever that is for you, it's there on the table. But this table is really big, and it's big enough for you to be whoever you are. Mm. It's inclusive enough that however it is and what state you are right now, you are welcome to sit at this table. Mm. And here at this table, we remind you who you are. So when you come and you talk about how bad and how shitty things are for you, we remind you of that one time. You know what, man? You have always persevered through everything that you've gone through. Mm. right? A family meals, this is one of those things that happens. Like, people remind you of who you are, and it empowers you, and it encourages you, and it gives you perspective. And then we celebrate the wins with everybody. Mm. Oh my God, that's amazing. You're doing that right now? Oh my God, we're so proud of you.
Yeah.
Where wins are shared, where losses are shared, where you are empowered to be whoever it is that you are. And the table is big enough for all of the sadness. It is big enough for all of the grief. It is big enough for all of the accomplishments mm-hmm. and all the success. This table is big enough for all of it. That's what I think of.
And to close it, look, if you're hearing this and you think that what we're doing is trying to tear the church down or make it less valid, 100% you are the person holding on to the symbols.
You missed it.
You 100% you just heard what you want to hear, and that's just what it is. Because there's nothing in our heart or our intent meant to tear this thing down, but to find those amongst the family in the house that understand that the way Dad has been doing it probably isn't the best. And we've all done it in our own families. We've seen where our parents make mistakes, and it's like, man, and we always claim, what? We're never going to be like that. We're not going to do it like Dad did. We're not going to do it like Mom did. We're going to do it better. We're going to do it better because we've gained some understanding. We've gained some perspective. And so what we're saying is we're grateful for Pops and all that he's taught us in this metaphor called the church. We're thankful for it. And we're not saying we're breaking up and we're getting a divorce. We're just saying that we found a way to make a better marriage. And in that, we'd love to be with someone that is willing to lay down how they used to do things and pick up the ideas of now. Because it's a whole different experience now. Life globally in America, it's different. It's not 10 years ago, and it's not your grandma's religion. It's just not. And if you're afraid to catch up, then you will get left behind. Because like B said, these young bucks that are coming up, man, they just don't believe it anymore. They don't believe the bullshit. And I don't blame them.
See right through it, man.
I don't blame them. I don't blame them. They don't see the God that we proclaim. And so if I could say the role of the church, what I hope it becomes, I hope it really does get back to people. That's it. It's so simple. If it can just get back to just people, people actually loving people. Even though I know that is an unrealistic expectation, because I know people, if you listen to this, they'll take one Facebook post to throw your ass back into hating somebody. I know it. I know it.
What about the unborn people?
I'm just gonna though say that this is my hope, and this is what I feel the church's role should be now. And I'm gonna choose the hope that somehow we're gonna see a version of that, hopefully, before the Lord comes. But anyways, we really, 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 really do pray you have a seat at the table. But if you do not, please come, because you are welcome at ours. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.